You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now. And they're off. The National Dog off to a flying start there, bolting out ahead. And, oh, what's this? Looks like several of the Labour Dogs have given up racing entirely, instead choosing to walk around in circles, occasionally biting each other. Surely that's counterproductive. Meanwhile, I don't believe this. The Act Dog, honestly one of the shittiest little dogs I've ever seen, has managed to pull himself to the front by biting onto the tail of the National Dog. He's literally being dragged to a podium finish. Here they come now, down the stretch. It's the National Dog way out in front, followed by the parasitic little scamp from Act and some old man wearing a bow tie. Following them is a bright-eyed hermaphrodite, brimming with hope, representing the Green Party and bringing up the rear. That's right, the New Zealand first dog, who will surely be disqualified for taking a bite out of a Chinese Shar Pei. What a bitch.
It's political commentary.
Earlier this week, Oxfam released a report on wealth and inequality, and it showed that New Zealand's two wealthiest people have the same amount of wealth as the poorest 30%. We're speaking with political commentator Rod Oram this morning. Good morning, Rod.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm very well, thank you.
That is good. Have you had a nice time away?
Yes, thank you. And it's great to be back, and I hope you had a great time over Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah, I did. Thank you. So we are looking at the Oxfam report, and I was just wanting to ask you, was the information released surprising for New Zealand?
Yes, it is, because that's a very deep concentration of wealth, and we know the broad picture for some time in terms of those households which have no net wealth, i.e. they own more to other people in terms of assets they own themselves. But to aggregate it together in this kind of way, which shows that the two wealthiest people have such a high share, is eye-catching. Now, that's exactly the point of what Oxfam is doing with its global report out on Monday, to try to make the trends here as clear as possible to stimulate as much debate as possible. So, for example, one of the graphics it used globally was to show how many people, how concentrated the wealth is. If you look back at around about 2010, the number of billionaires around the world who it took to own the same wealth as half the world was 388, so they have a picture of a jumbo jet there.
Wow.
And today, the number of people who own half the world's wealth is 62. So it's come down from 388 people to 62, and you can fit them on a bus. So the way it's projecting is that by 2020, you can fit them on a minibus.
Why is there this massive change?
There is a lot of debate about this, and there's been some criticism of the Oxfam data. The first easy example of an issue here on data is there's been quite a significant rise in the US dollar, which affects a lot of those calculations, particularly in countries such as where there's been a strong devaluation against, even stronger than the trend, against the US dollar. The second problem is that in a sense, there are no such things as global statistics. There is data from each country, which in the best way possible you can bring together in a coherent way, but that has problems. And the third one is that the list of billionaires is the list that's put together by Forbes, the U.S. business magazine, has been doing it for a number of years. And I've always had the same problem with, as others do, with that list as with, say, the NBR rich list here in New Zealand. It's incredibly difficult, I would argue it's impossible, to work out what the true wealth of these individuals is. There's just no transparency, no reporting. You can look at the main assets they have and find various ways to work out the value of those assets. But it's phenomenally difficult, again I would argue it's impossible, to work out what's the liabilities that they have against those assets, how much debt they own, or the minority interests in those assets that have a stake in it as well. So for those three reasons, one can be very cautious about the exact numbers, but one can be pretty sure about the trend. And this is the third year running that Oxfam's put out this report, just before the Davos meeting in Switzerland, going on right this week, of the business and political elite of the world. And very interestingly, the World Economic Forum, who runs the Davos event each year, every year they put out a global risk analysis, and they said just last week, ahead of the meeting this week, that rising inequality and social polarization pose two of the biggest risks to the global economy in 2017. So we can argue about the numbers, we can be really sure about the trend, and when the World Economic Forum is telling you this is a very big problem, that's very notable.
Yeah. Has the New Zealand government responded to this report?
I've just come back yesterday morning from overseas, and I haven't had a chance to look at that. The standard position that the government has been running on these issues for some time, and I don't know whether they've changed their position this week, is that they say that they argue about the data. So, and they also argue what you should measure. So they look, they're much keener to emphasize income rather than wealth. So on the income side, they can say, oh, inequality is not getting worse. Look, the wages of the lowest have been rising. We're sort of holding our own. The big drop back, the big increase in inequality in New Zealand happened in the late 80s and early 90s. That part's true. But it's still going on. They are far less willing to engage on assets. And we know, given the way the housing market has gone, for example, with very sharply rising prices and very large mortgage debts, that there is real problems with asset inequality, which is the same thing that the Oxfam study is measuring. And so it would be really important to see here in New Zealand in this coming year, as we head towards an election, much more debate and some real push for some very new and more effective policies around this, rather than the old attempts to remedy this, become really an important part of the political landscape here in New Zealand. And there are some examples of this. So, for example, there is an inclusive development index that the World Economic Forum produces, which tries to measure which societies are the most equal and the best balanced. Well, the top five places in that are held by Norway, Luxembourg, Switzerland, Iceland, and Denmark. Britain ranks 21st on that, and the U.S. is 23rd. I apologize for not having a chance to see where New Zealand would fit in
that. That's okay.
I would imagine that it would be fairly close to Britain in that. So in the late teens, towards 20 would be my guess.
So looking back on a global scale, what does this report show? And I know that you were in America recently.
Yes, I've just spent 6 weeks, just over 3 weeks in the US and just over 2 weeks in the UK, trying to say take the pulse of things. These issues are incredibly strong. It helps explain, for example, the election of Donald Trump as president of the United States. And when we look ahead to elections in the in Europe this year, particularly in France and Holland, there these questions of inequality and how many people have missed out on the wealth generated in recent decades will be very much a factor driving the popularity of the hard right in politics. Germany has some rise in that end of the political spectrum. But Germany has done a better job in ensuring better income and more balanced wages than, say, in France and in the UK. So it's not there's variations in that pattern across Europe.
Well, thank you so much, Rod, for speaking with us this morning. It's really great to, sorry we didn't have time to talk a little bit more. But yeah, thank you so much for coming on the show this morning. And it's nice to have you back from your holiday and having your input.
Well, thank you. It's always a huge pleasure. And I look forward to many more chats as the year unfolds.
Brilliant. Looking forward to it. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.